The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you in the hole, 6010. Fantasy Focus.
Wednesday. Fantasy Focus is back my preferred crew. Sorry, Matthew. Not sorry. Mike and Starfanya are back. What is happening, party animals?
Well, I just turned my mic on because you clued me in with that. And I had to look. I think Daniel is now officially testing me to see every day.
All right. This is sort of like an inside baseball moment. But our studio has a control panel for each of us. And then Daniel has the master control panel back behind the glass. Basically, anything that we can do, Daniel can also control. Sometimes he leaves it on us to turn on our own microphones. I forgot to turn mine on. I started talking. The only person who heard me, I guess the only two people, were Mike and Starfanya. I've only been doing the show for, I think, 5 seasons. As it turns out, I remain an idiot. And that's never really been disputed, but it's only been further confirmed.
I really don't think it's on you, Phil, because this is Daniel's thing this year, is just leaving the mics off. And then he says, well, you know, God forbid we should turn our own mics on. But we are out of practice.
I'm not going to be here forever, Stefania. Sooner or later, I'm going to move out of the house. You're going to have to learn how to do a Google search on your own, okay?
I want to press this huge dump button. What does that do?
You want to know what that dump button does, Mike?
Yeah, I do.
I'll tell you what that dump button does.
You find out the hard way, huh?
That's right.
I'm just going to test it out one of these days. If you start messing around back there, not playing my theme song, giving me a hard time.
Oh, my gosh. Who is this guy? Who is this?
I will press the dump button.
It's like prison Mike all of a sudden just showed up. You know what I mean?
Seriously,
what is this?
What's wrong with prison Mike? You have a problem with prison Mike?
Okay. I hope not. Jeez, wow. This just took a hard pivot.
I'm gonna write a prison Mike rap or something.
What is Damian Lillard?
Please do.
Damian Lillard, Shaquille O'Neal, basically the ESPN version of prison Mike and Daniel Dopp.
She's not a clone. She's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Pitt.
Is that your rap, Stefania?
I guess.
You did a rap a couple years ago, didn't you?
I did. Yeah, I had to write a rap. That was a punishment.
Yeah.
Ask Mina. She was proud of it.
Yes. Is that available somewhere in the internet, Stefania?
I'm sure. What isn't?
I can't think of many things. But I challenge somebody. Yeah, maybe someone goes out there and finds Starfania's infamous or famous, depending on how you look at things, rap from a few years ago. And Stefania's here now. We're going to spare her rapping, but instead, we're going to ask her about some injury news because, unfortunately, we've got some. We begin in Cincinnati. Monday night, we saw John Ross writhe in pain on the field. Stefania, it looked like a shoulder issue at the time, and that's confirmed.
Right. We haven't heard any more detail about it, but if you have a chance to look at the play, I would say go back and take a look at it. It's on pass play. He makes a catch. It kind of gets spun around by a defender, but the defender has his forearms wrapped up. And when you pull the arm like in and close to the body, it makes the outside point of the shoulder far more vulnerable, especially if you are to land directly on it. That's what happened with him. You knew it was a problem right away. And if you saw, he was kind of leaning forward, which is, it's kind of this instinctive pattern guys have. He was wearing a sling after the game to support the shoulder. So all we've heard so far is that he's out multiple weeks for fantasy purposes. Clearly you need to make alternate plans. Bengals now without AJ Green, who we knew was going to be out a while, but just heard further confirmation that he's out a couple more weeks. And so now you're down Green and Ross.
My guess is that John Ross probably was not in many lineups. He was awesome in week one, also awesome in week two, but no one was starting him in week one. I think people were still a little bit reserved going into week two. So, Mike, probably not a player a lot of people have been relying upon, but given he's going to miss some time, given that it was kind of a comeback down to earth past couple of weeks for him, are you safe to drop John Ross for the roster spot elsewhere?
Yeah, no doubt about it, because when he comes back, he's likely not walking into the same situation. He's probably walking into a lineup that includes A.J. Green, mostly. Hopefully, yes. Hopefully a month from now, A.J. Green will be back. So, yes, the way he's been playing, I know the volume was good there, but and then we saw Andy Dalton struggle in this game. So I think you can cut him loose for sure. I mean, it is a high-volume passing game, so you know, perhaps there could be some value with what's left there. But, you know, Ross, I think you could cut him loose.
All right. Matthew has more confidence in the Bengals this week than I do. I know it's a great matchup against the Cardinals, but I have a hard time putting my faith into a team that looked like garbage on Monday night against a Pittsburgh defense that up to that point, I don't care if they had 8 first-round picks on that defense, up until this past Monday, they stunk too. So if you want to go ahead and have confidence in Andy Dalton without John Ross and instead relying upon Tyler Boyd, who's good, and then Auden Cole is your top two wide receivers.
Auden Tate.
I don't know why I threw a Cole in there. Auden Tate. Go ahead and have at it. I'm not quite as confident in young Andy Dalton. Devontae Adams, Stefania, we talked about him yesterday, or maybe it was Monday, or maybe it was yesterday and Monday. I'm getting old. I've lost track of time. But we do know this. He's got a toe issue, and he seems unlikely to be playing on Sunday against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I don't.
You're the expert.
I don't think you're going to see Devontae Adams, and there are a couple reasons. Just again, going back to the play, it was actually pretty clear what happened because he had his right toe. He was up on the ball of his foot, and they got landed on, and so forced hyperextension the big toe, kind of classic mechanism for turf toe injury, which is a sprain of the big toe. And after the game, he said it was too painful to put his shoe on. He stood there and talked to reporters, but he was in a lot of pain. So even though they got good news back that this appears to be a non-surgical turf toe injury, remember, AJ Green, who we were just talking about, had to have surgery after a turf toe injury last year. Non-operative, but still is going to take some time for that to settle down before you want to put him out in the field. I don't think you see Devontae Adams this week.
Okay, so Mike, next man up would be Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And here's what we're going to do. Before the show, we talked about, like, maybe we'll talk about Marquez Valdez-Scantling in our rankings discussion. But because we are innovative, and we are nimble, and we are dynamic, we are like Alvin Kamara in the open field.
I like
talking about Marquez Valdez-Scantling right now. That's what you told me, right, Daniel? Okay, good. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Mike, seems to be in line to be the next man up as the number one wide receiver in Green Bay. Does that mean, okay, not Devontae Adams-type production, but top 15 play, top 18 play, top 20? How high up the projections does he climb this week?
Well, I'm looking at our rankings here across the board, and I'm right in the middle, so I guess I should say some nice things and some mean things, right? So I'm 21. Stefania is optimistic at 15 or 26, so I'm kind of in the middle. Here's the thing. I mean, he's only had one weekly finish better than 46 so far this season, and that's despite some heavy usage. 6+ targets in every game, a 23% target share. With Aaron Rodgers at under center, that is a big amount of usage. He's been on the field for 83% of the snaps. But here's the thing. 83% of the snaps, 23% target share. Can he really increase on that? I'm not sure. I think they may spread it around to guys like Jimmy Graham and Geronimo Allison, perhaps Jake Kumerow if he's back and healthy.
Ooh, preseason Jake. I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, absolutely. He's been
beautiful
hurt.
Hair.
We'll
yeah.
see if he's back too. By the way, the Cowboys pretty good against receivers too. So that's another thing that could potentially in the short term hurt him here in week 5. 6 fewest fantasy points allowed to receivers. Also bottom 6 in yards, yards per reception, yards per target. They've been good. In fact, only 2 touchdowns allowed to receivers by the Cowboys through week 4. So I'm not going to go nuts here, but with Adams out, you boost him up a little bit. I think he's just outside the top 20.
One thing on MVS that gives me a bit of pause about him catapulting into a top 10 week, which, by the way, is a precursor to him having like a top 3 week.
That's what
is more anecdotal than it probably is. I'm sure there is a site, maybe we at ESPN track this, of like the amount of types of routes that he runs, right? It feels like a lot of what Marquez Valdez-Scantling has done in this offense has been vertical plays down the field, which are just lower efficiency. They are less likely to repeat over the course of multiple games, much less one game. Part of Devontae Adams' value is not just that he's one of the best wide receivers, period, but also because he runs the kind of routes that can, the short to intermediate passing game is a very good thing for fantasy football, especially in PPR. So I do like MVS's value to be up this week, but I'm not sold that, like, hey, this makes him a top 15 or so play just because of Devontae Adams not being on the field. Not the only injury to a talented wide receiver. Christian Kirk, not quite in the same territory. Well, really not even close to Devontae Adams yet, but a promising young player in his second year. Stefania, Christian Kirk, is he going to be able to play on? He's got an ankle issue.
Yeah,
poor guy.
He actually has a high ankle sprain. And I don't know why this didn't get more attention. I think it feels like it sort of flew under the radar that people haven't really been mentioning it.
Can I venture a guess?
Yes.
It's the Cardinals.
True.
I don't mean that like we don't love all 32 equally, but they're sort of milquetoast, right? It's like, yeah, the Cardinals, like, besides Kyler Murray, what's really exciting about this? And I guess, and Larry Fitz too, but like, they're 0-2-1, 0-3-1. Mm-hmm. Playing the Bengals on Sunday.
For people, now that there's buys and, more teams are going on buy, if Christian Kirk's on a roster, he's a guy that you might have been looking to use, and you just want to have a heads up that
Yeah,
there's
yeah.
a really good chance that he won't be available this week. And we haven't really heard from the Cardinals anything about the extent of his injury. But hopefully as the week goes on, we'll get a little more insight to that. Obviously, high variability in the time off for a high ankle sprain, depending on the severity.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you should make other plans. We know that Fitz is going to be Fitz, and he should have a huge target share like he often does in a good spot against the Bengals, Mike. I think the focus is probably on Fitz, but just for like the two people, for those that listen to, what do we call it? CCS and DFS or something?
What's yeah, the CSS DFS podcast. CSS, they weren't here
DSS,
for that.
DFS. Oh, you weren't. That's right. You weren't there.
Yeah.
New nickname for your own show. Don't worry about it. Not a big deal. Anyway,
yeah, I'm not going to use that. Okay. Go ahead.
Whoa.
Wow.
Wow.
Prison Mike is literally in full effect right
Prison
now.
Prison Mike is.
Because I sent out an alert that said Clay, Squirrel, and Smizzle. So Matthew was giving us a hard time. So he was like, what? Is that the new nickname for the show? And I was like, it's the CSS DFS podcast.
Okay. Well, I wasn't in on it, so I didn't like it. Now I like it more.
He is
Mike,
like,
wow. You are salty.
It's like he's been to a Russian prison for the last 10 years.
Listen, I'm a little under the weather. I'm on some meds today, so not all
we can tell. We can tell.
No, I don't think DayQuil. Like, I don't think DayQuil and like Allegra and stuff like that.
You really are becoming the person who normally sits in that chair.
It's week four. Let's go.
So there are
it's
curses,
week five.
Right? Curses and
it's week five. Five.
Look at this guy. Have we ever kicked a host off during the show?
Oh, wait,
ever?
Is it?
Week five.
September, week four. Yeah.
It's October of week five. Thank okay. you. Any event, Mike.
Anyway.
Let's for go. Some Wednesday. Of those that, like, Wednesday,
let's go.
By the way.
Huh?
It's Wednesday.
It's Wednesday. Okay. Good to know.
Are you okay? Can
I'm
we?
Fine.
May I continue with the fantasy
I
want to
talk
football?
About the Cardinals receivers. I'm
okay.
waiting for the tee up. Come on.
All right. Fine. You know what?
Okay, Mike.
We'll just get right to it, Mike.
Go.
Larry Fitzgerald, as compared to a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, Sammy
yes.
Watkins, guys like that, how might he stack up for not just this week, but potentially, like I hear high ankle sprain and my instinct is multi-week. That's just what I think, and I'm not Stefania, not nearly as smart
or
talented.
That's not
an
unreasonable reaction.
Well, thank you, Stefania.
They usually are.
So is it possible that Fitz's value is actually boosted with Kirk out, or is it just Fitz is Fitz, and like you kind of get what you've been getting, which is like a low-end wide receiver two or a flex consideration?
I think it's about the same. I don't think much is going to change. In fact, if you look at the Cardinals' wide receiver usage, it's very straightforward, right? This has been I was looking at the usage in the preseason, and it is carried right over. Actually, it kind of reminds me of Chip Kelly when he was with Philadelphia, where guys just have a position. It's not as simple as like, oh, he's the flanker, or the split end, or this guy is the, you know, he's the slop. It'll play both sides. Sometimes he'll play outside. These guys have specific positions. So last week, for example, Damir Bird was out, right? And we thought, well, maybe Andy Isabella gets a shot. But that was not the case because Bird plays on the outside. So Trent Sherfield was the guy that stepped in. This week, if Kirk is out, we might actually get a look at Andy Isabella because you have Fitz and Kirk and Isabella are the slot guys. You have Sherfield, Bird, and Keyshawn Johnson are the perimeter guys. So this we might actually get a shot at Isabella. He could slide right in there and see 7 to 9 targets. That would not shock me at all, the way they deploy these guys. Again, just like we saw Sherfield play 85% of the snaps last week on the outside. So I don't think much will change. I think especially if Bird is back, it'll be Bird and Johnson on the outside. You'll have Fitz and Isabella inside, and we'll see what happens.
Isabella's interesting.
Yeah.
Second-round pick. Guy who's just he's a speed demon. Played at UMass. Shout out UMass. I'm sure people have heard this story before, but, you know, generated some high school buzz because he's from Ohio and he ran the 100 meter race against Denzel Ward. Ever heard of him? Number four overall pick in the draft.
Yep.
Very good player. Awesome young cornerback for the Browns. Andy Isabella ran faster than him. So the guy's got speed to burn. Second round pick, part of the Josh Rosen trade. So he'll be an interesting guy if he gets more run.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask can I quickly have him settle a debate? Not a debate, but an interpretation. Matthew and I were discussing yesterday, I'm just curious. It's not, I don't think it's a right or wrong. I'm just curious people stand on this side of it. Like, would you interpret the Cardinals as a fantasy friendly offense? I said no. Matthew said yes.
They potentially can be. It's set up to be, but it's not panning out so far, is the way I would put it. Like, Christian Kirk is set up for so much success, but it just hasn't happened yet.
This
Larry Fitzgerald
perfect.
Has flirted at times with it.
Kyler
hasn't
Murray.
Been there.
They right.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
one
David
of us
Johnson
thinks it
times,
is,
yeah.
one of us thinks it isn't, and then two of us think it could be or might not be.
It's like right there. Like if,
it has
if
you know what
I
the
think,
Cardinals
yeah,
are? They're an offense.
Potential.
They're an offense. Yeah. I guess my thought was like, you know, hey, like the conversation was like, if you're replacing somebody, you know, is it like, you know, if it was the Packers, if you replace Davante Adams. We think it is a fantasy-friendly offense where, you know, MVS becomes a top 20 to 25 play, whereas if somebody replaces Christian Kirk, it's not quite as fantasy-friendly. Anyways,
it could be.
That was more of a personal question than anything else.
If they start turning field goals into touchdowns, it will be. They're just not there yet. They're just
not there yet. Last one on the injury front, Stefania. Mitchell Trubisky is in London, but he's not going to play on Sunday.
Right, he's going to watch. Did you guys see that injury, by the way, when it happened?
Not live. I saw it.
But you saw the
video. Yes.
If you look at that video when he's rolling over, immediately my thought was when he's rolling over. If you saw his shoulder, did you just get that feeling in your stomach like the arm is not supposed to go that way?
Yeah, it was pretty ugly. But I'm not tough.
Yeah, but still, I mean, you could just tell that his arm was so forced back that it actually put his shoulder beyond its normal range of motion. That's what happens when you then dislocate your shoulder. And I don't know whether he had a full dislocation or not, but in any event, he had enough that his shoulder moved out of position and has a labral tear. Again, don't know if the labral tear happened on that injury, was made worse, if he had one already. But either way, super painful. You're not going to have your normal range of motion for a while. The only good thing that happened was it was his left shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder. If this was his right shoulder, we'd be talking about a lot longer absence. But because it's his left, he could be back fairly soon. You know, once he gets that pain to settle down and he can protect himself, he can be back.
We talked about this a bit on Monday, and I think we kind of all agreed on it. But so with Mitch Trubisky out, it'll be Chase Daniel for however long Trubisky is out. Really wasn't. Now we'll borrow this again. It was not a fantasy-friendly offense prior to the injury.
Correct.
I don't believe it becomes, I don't think the difference in the offense is consequential either way. I don't think they're a particularly better offense with Chase Daniel. I don't think they're particularly worse. I think the guys are probably commensurate values to what they were before. Allen Robinson is a flex play who, because of his talent, could be a top 15 wide receiver in a given week. Other than that, I mean, Tariq Cohen and David Montgomery are kind of locked into what they are. Anything change here for you?
No, I don't think so. I think you kind of nailed it on the head there. I mean, it can't be much worse than it was the first month. It cannot be much worse. And Chase Daniel, by the way, I was kind of looking at his past in the league. I mean, he's only had five games where he's either started or played a bulk of the snaps, including on Sunday. His weekly finishes 16th, 19th, 20th, 11th, and 26th. And the 11th actually was in 2013. I mean, the guy has never even had a top 10 fantasy week. And you know, I know that's only the quarterback part of it, but if he's not putting up big stats, the guys around him can't put up big stats either generally. So, I think it's a situation to avoid aside of Robinson. I'm with you.
Man, it's too bad, though, for Allen Robinson because that guy's good. He is like my Corey Davis of the NFC, right? Better quarterback play would make that guy look like a real star. Mike, I wouldn't play them in season long, but perhaps I would consider these guys in daily depending on what their price point is. Tell us more about DraftKings right now, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah, the way fantasy is, the Bears stack might be the one to deliver, right? Like Anthony Miller put up 10 for 200 this week with with Daniel. You know, that's just the way it is, especially this season. But if you're going to play, you're going to do it at DraftKings. Let me ask you, is there anything better than watching football field?
Literally nothing.
Well, there's one thing.
I think there's one thing better.
There is one thing.
Okay, what is it?
Of course. Watching football with a DraftKings lineup on the line.
Obviously.
Yes. Especially this week. DraftKings, the leader in one-day fantasy football, is giving new users a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit when you sign up at DraftKings.com/FFF. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every run, throw, and catch mean more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Just draft your lineup, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Nothing adds to the sweat of watching the game quite like having a shot at over $1 million in prizes. And be sure to check out the newest game mode, Flash Draft. Now you can draft a new team for a single quarter of a live football game. Head over to DraftKings.com/FFF right now. New users who sign up today will get a free shot at over $1 million in prizes with your first deposit. That's DraftKings.com/FFF for your free shot at over $1 million in prizes.
Wait, how much is it, Mike?
$1 million, and it's free.
Oh, it's free.
It is free dollars. Only at DraftKings. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Moving along to our rankings conversation, and we begin with Jameis Winston. You know, sometimes
in our rankings.
You know something. He's always in our conversation
he's
as well.
In our conversation.
For those of you that follow me on Twitter @FieldYates, I try not to use the same memes or the same GIFs or the same phrase over and over and over again. But in back-to-back Sundays, I found myself posting a meme that I made myself, believe it or not. I generated online. Yep.
Wow.
It's so probably many people are familiar with a variety of SpongeBob SquarePants GIFs. Yeah. Memes.
You this one. You had the two SpongeBobs.
The top is SpongeBob, who's sort of feeble and meek and weak and bad.
Bad Jameis.
Just bad, bad. And then the bottom one is hulking SpongeBob. Looks kind of like Daniel Dopp without a shirt on. Just jacked and imposing and fierce and scoring lots of fantasy points. So when Jameis is in my lineup, he's the weak version. When he's not in my lineup, he's the strong version who's scoring 37 points in my 6-point passing touchdown league. If I started them, I would have won my matchup. I sound like Matthew Berry. In any event, I don't know what to do with Jameis Winston. I've got him ranked at 11th. Stefania has him at 12th. And Mike is telling me, you know something, Field? Don't be a moron. Start him this week against the Saints. The Saints looked pretty good defensively to me last week, Mike.
If Field's a moron, what does that make me? Because I have him lower. I feel like the Saints
You guys are mad I'm being mean, and then you're setting me up to be mean.
Well, you want me to say mean things. I just feel like the Saints have Jameis's number. He's not traditionally done great against
Literally everyone knows Jameis's number, Stefania. Okay? All the teams.
Except me. I don't know numbers. All right.
So tell us why we're wrong.
Look, he's been delivering, like you just said, top five in fantasy points each of the past 2 weeks, and the volume has been there. Fifth at quarterback in passing yards, OFP, so expected fantasy points. He's been up there too. You love that about this Bruce Arians offense. Top five in passing touchdowns so far, has a career high 8.4 yards per attempt, a quarterback high 10.8 average depth of throw, which is an area he's always high in. He's getting the ball downfield to Mike Evans and Chris Godwin. You love that. And the game script should be great for passing the football here against a good Saints team. By the way, the Saints defense is good. They have talent, but teams have to throw the football on them, and they produce. Second most fantasy points allowed to quarterbacks so far, including the seventh most yards, the seventh highest yards per attempt, the fourth highest pass OTD or expected touchdown total at just under 8. And they've already allowed 4 rushing touchdowns to quarterbacks, which is 2 more than any other team. That might be a little bit of noise there, but we know at times Winston can pull it down and run the football. So I think it actually sets up for a high volume, highly productive game.
I'm not going to lie to you, Mike. I lost you about 10% of the way to that explanation. But I know that the conclusion was that the Saints can be had on defense when Jameis is your quarterback. But that was like, I imagine like if someone busted out the TI-83 and started pressing a bunch of numbers and functions and then getting the eventual answer, your mind is basically the TI-83.
The TIE praise.
What an insult, because the TI-85 is where it's at. Oh, you know what I mean?
So I haven't used the TI-83
in a while. I was going to say, I can't believe you're even like TI.
But you know who has no idea what a TI-83 is?
Kyle.
No, Matthew.
Oh, well, that's true.
Why was Kyle the answer to that question?
You don't know anything, Kyle. Yeah. You never know anything that's relevant to
society. That's a mad question.
Matthew's like, you know, he counts on like, calculator. Matthew uses like
his abacus back
abacus
home.
Abacus and marbles to count. He's like, well, you take 6 blue marbles and move them to the left side, and then what was that game called where you had, it was like a wooden board with little circles and you have to drop them?
Mancala.
Look at this, Kyle.
Look at this. And
Kyle knows stuff. Let's go.
Thank you.
Good catch right there, Kyle.
Thank you very much.
Matthew uses the little beads from Mancala to count things.
That's so good.
It's my 78th birthday. Let me just get the beads out. Anyways, Mike said that Jameis is a good start against the Saints on Sunday.
Here's why 7 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in his career against the Saints. I feel like even though there's always opportunity in the Dome, and they are playing in New Orleans, that's another thing that I think works against him this week.
All right. I could probably stay in line with that. I think both of you make great points. Both of you make great points in different ways, but great points. Kyler Murray is all the way up at quarterback 4 this week from Mike and Stefania. I've got him at quarterback 8. You guys smell that?
Wait, is the rock cooking in here?
Mm-hmm. Good fetch, Daniel. Can't wait for SmackDown on Friday night. But kind of smells bored Betty right now. Am I the only one that thinks that?
I don't.
You don't think that, or
no,
you do think that?
You're not the only one.
Okay, good. Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay.
Are we going to witness making a board bet again? Because I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
Do you guys want to make a board bet?
Well, we could, but here's the problem.
Okay.
I have him at QB8.
Dang it! I misspoke!
Well, I'll make a board bet with both of you.
So it'll be you and I against Mike. Yeah, that's how it would
be. Of course, that would fit the narrative of today's podcast.
You know something, Mike? Here's what we're going to do. Mike, tell us why we're wrong, and then we'll make a board bet.
Okay. He's QB 14 so far.
Yeah, that's good.
He has no top 10 fantasy weeks yet, despite some massive volume.
Yeah.
He is QB 8 in expected fantasy points. Is that okay? Can I use that stat? Is that too high? I was going to say,
you're making the case for us.
Like,
No. It's not. It's just, it's a lot. I just, you're just smarter than I am.
Oh, no, stop it. No, I'm not. All right, first in dropbacks, third in pass attempts, but only 13th in yards and only 5 total touchdowns. The efficiency just hasn't been there. I love volume, obviously, for quarterbacks, but it makes me a little bit nervous. We did see a rushing increase the past 2 weeks, so that's good. And I'm kind of swinging a positive because, listen, he's QB 14. I still have him in my top 10. So we're obviously upgrading him here.
By the way,
I'm just not as high.
Did you see the Bengals Monday night? Because that's what he's playing.
That. Yeah,
I know.
And so it's a short week for them. They're already so defeated after whatever that happened to them on Monday night. And now I actually think this is Arizona. He not only plays well, Arizona wins this game.
So what you and I think, he's his top 6 quarterback and Mike's is not a top 6 quarterback this week. It's a perilous board bet for us to make because top 6 is difficult to achieve in any week.
But
you know something? Because we are a woman and a man of the people, Stefania, because we give them what they want, like Jalen Rose, because we like to have some fun, because we live a little, Mike. We live a little around here. I'll make that bet.
Okay.
You want to
we'll
do
take
it?
On prison,
I'm
Mike.
In.
How about this, Mike?
Prison
you make
Mike.
Your declaration, and then Stefania can speak on my behalf so that we don't make it awkward when we're both trying to say the same thing at the same time.
So, and we're going with 6.
Six.
Is that what you want the lineup?
Well, what's the difference, right?
Yeah,
that's a reasonable
thing to
do.
Worse than, yeah.
Well, 4, okay. 8. If you do the beads, slide them.
Done.
Mancala.
I think in week 5 against the Bengals, Kyler Murray will finish worse than 6th among quarterbacks in fantasy points.
That was a very long and awkward one, so I'm not going to say what you said. I think in week 5, Kyler Murray finishes 6 or above in fantasy points. Put it on the board! Oh my God,
I thought Field was doing it too! I was waiting for Field.
Why?
You left.
Is
it's
this
like a high
so
five with no one on the other
hard.
Side.
Oh I was waiting God. For Field to make his.
You're
make
fired.
His,
yep. That's it. That was it right there. That was it.
That was my case.
Put it on the board.
Thank you very much for that, Daniel. Let's move things along here. And it gets kind of interesting. Austin Eckler is probably not going to be the only running back that matters this week for the Chargers because Melvin Gordon is back. I am at 15th. Mike has him at 11th. Stefania has him at 18th. So, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know this is necessarily much of a stats projection here. I think it's more of just a gut feel on what you think the role will be. And Stefania, let's begin with you. It seems like you believe that Melvin Gordon's role will be prominent enough that Austin Eckler takes a little bit of a back seat.
Yeah, it's hard to assess, to be honest, because we saw him dress last week with the notion that he could potentially play. Obviously, they had Justin Jackson out. Not clear yet whether they will have Justin Jackson out again, but the expectation was that they might need to use Melvin Gordon. They did not. I think that was probably wise. He'd only been with the team, only been back with the team for 2 days, basically. Now he gets another week to go through workouts. Anthony Lynn's been very clear about saying that they don't want to do too much to him out of the gate, but also that he will be the number one as soon as he's ready. That readiness, guys, could happen within that game if they like what they see and if he's had a good practice all week. So I don't think he gets up to the full load that you're going to expect to see him producing in 2 or 3 weeks, but I still think he could be workshare dominant in this first week. We'll find out.
Okay. Mike, are you as confident? Or what do you think this
at
ends
least
up?
Fantasy productive, I would say.
Yeah,
and I do
fair.
Think that
yeah.
they're going to use him in situations where he could score.
Yeah, I'm a little higher on Eckler here, but again, I'm going to monitor the reports all week like the rest of us, right, and see what we're hearing from Eric Williams, who covers the team, or whoever is on top of this matchup. And once we get a better feel for distribution, we'll go from there. Again, I'm a little higher. I have Eckler closer to 11th. We know he'll play some kind of role as a pass catcher. I mean, last season before Melvin got hurt, and keep in mind, Melvin Gordon was a top 5 fantasy running back when he got injured late last season. Eckler was inside the top 30, right? So he was already flirting with flex value the way it is. Also, could you have 2 running backs have big fantasy days here?
Sure,
against Denver?
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, the Denver D has been run all over. 5th most fantasy points allowed to running backs, top 3 in rushes against, rushing yards against, rushing touchdowns, already over 520 yards and 5 touchdowns allowed, and giving up a ton of receiving production to running backs as well. So I think there's room potentially for both to be starting caliber players.
Well, we will talk about this a lot more this week,
yeah.
and definitely on Fantasy Football Now on Sunday as well, because there are so many layers to this story that have yet to be uncovered or told. Jarvis Landry is playing on Monday Night Football against the 49ers in San Francisco. Some are calling it a Super Bowl preview. Others are calling it a potential wager between Keith and Stefania. You guys can decide on the terms for that wager. But before we talk about the fantasy impact, Stefania, Jarvis Landry's in the concussion protocol.
Yeah, he is. And so I think, we just don't want to say that it's automatic that he'll be available because it is a Monday night game. Obviously, you want to watch. They do have that extra day for him. But if you notice, somebody pointed this out to me on social media, that it seems like more players are missing a week. You know, it used to be automatically we always assumed, oh, within a week they clear the protocol. We shouldn't assume that anyway, because it's different for everyone. There are phases they have to where they have to meet the benchmark before they can get cleared to go on to the next thing. But I have kind of noticed that. And maybe things are just, you know, slowing down a little bit in terms of how guys are being managed. Who knows? But we will see. I would not say it's a lock for him to play just yet.
Okay. Well, so it's hanging in the balance. But from a rankings perspective, Mike, we all have him right around wide receiver 20 this week after a massive, massive week in week four.
Yeah, no doubt. It was wide receiver 5 last week, and he's 23rd right now, wide receiver in OFP or expected fantasy points. So you know that the usage has been there. The reason he hasn't kind of lived up to that is a lack of touchdowns, right? He has 0 so far. He should probably have closer to at least 1 this season, the way he's been utilized. He's averaging 9.6 yards per target, which is a career high. So he's been more efficient than you would expect from Landry. He's, believe it or not, 8th at wide receiver in receiving yards for the year as well. So, so far, so good. 25% or better target share each of the past 3 games. Again, lots of volume. And the 49ers defense kind of hit or miss so far against receivers. Not a lot of receptions per game allowed, but they've given up 4 touchdowns in 3 games. They're allowing almost 16 yards per reception. That's one of the worst in the league. And they're actually allowing the 2nd highest fantasy points per snap to wide receivers. So there actually is a lot to like here, especially with Odell Beckham coming off a couple down games, if you will, and certainly Beckham we expect to get back on track, but there's room for Landry to do some damage here.
What do you got, Stefania? You're snickering.
I'm just laughing. I'm laughing at you picking apart my San Francisco 49ers defense, when actually what you could say about them is that they're allowing the 6th fewest yards per pass attempt at 6.5, and they're allowing a touchdown on just 14.3% of drives, which is 5th best in the league. And oh, by the way, they're undefeated.
Okay. I didn't know them being undefeated had anything to do with Jarvis Landry, but okay.
Well, you know, it does. It means, you know, like typically the team that scores the most points wins, and then the other team doesn't score as many.
Okay.
So Jarvis Landry being on the other team would not score
okay,
as many
so they
points
can't,
if he played.
And that's how fantasy points work, too?
You know,
like they can't. Okay.
I'm just telling you.
How okay. Is Prison Mike
I feel like you
back
took this
personal.
They're not listening Woo. Back there anymore. Man.
Look,
you know,
I'm picking the 49ers to win the game.
Wow, spoiler. Didn't ask you for that one. Just kidding.
I'm not on here. I'm not. Is that the Thursday night game? That's not the Thursday night game.
Whatever.
I won't be here for that one.
Stephon Diggs and the Vikings play the Giants on Sunday in New Jersey, and the Giants have been a good matchup. Really good matchup. Stephon Diggs has not been a great fantasy wide receiver. Now, he did have a nice week this past week. He had 108 yards, I believe, on 7 catches against an awesome Bears defense. I've got him at 31, Stephon at 27. Mike, you are less optimistic. You have him down at 39. Is it the matchup? Is it the offense? What is it that has you still hesitant on Mr. Diggs?
Yeah, it's the offense that they're running. The second run-heaviest offense in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
Only your 49ers are calling it run-heavier game so far. He's 56 in fantasy points right now. He has 1 top 50 week against the Bears. And we talked about this last week. He owns the Bears, right? That's the team that he has dominated the past few years. He did it again last week. He's averaging 4.8 yard targets per game. He was at 9.7 last year, just a massive drop in usage for one of the league's better wide receivers, only 72nd in pass routes. A lot of problems here. He does have a good matchup. He'll be on the outside against Janoris Jenkins and DeAndre Baker, the rookie, who have really struggled. Giants getting lit up by receivers other than last week, of course, against the Redskins. I'm still a little nervous. The matchup is enough for me to put him in his top 40, or in my top 40, I should say, but I can't get much more aggressive than that.
Couple of things here. First of all, Mike, you may or may not, or may, have lost a board bet last week involving Stephon Diggs.
Did I? What was it?
Yeah, 11 fantasy points was Daniel's bet. 11 Oof. Or more. You said 11 or fewer. Daniel scores a big win. Congrats, Danny.
Big dub there.
Good
Thanks
job.
For
you. Good job.
Appreciate it, buddy. Also, I released Stephon Diggs for the entire fantasy community.
Correct.
I just want to make sure, again, that everybody knows
that. Oh, that gives you credit?
That's right. Have
well, that's
people,
naturally
do
why
people
I'm
thank you on Twitter, Daniel, or no?
Not enough. I'll tell you that much. At Daniel Dopp.
Okay,
maybe
at
you
Daniel
need to
Dopp,
work on
yeah.
Kirk Cousins next.
Well, so here's what I would say, though, is Mike, again, has all, that's all really good information, and I believe it to be pertinent. What I'm hopeful for is that this team, who, frankly, it's become public now.
Oh.
It's public. It's, mm-hmm. The frustrations are obvious.
They're talking about it individually.
That's right. And Kirk Cousins was on his radio show last night apologizing basically for
directly to Adam Thielen.
Yeah. Missed opportunities, missed throws. It sounds like even they believe they're too conservative. I know it is the drum that is, they're beating out there in Minnesota right now, and everybody's talking about it. Everybody is talking about it right now.
But here's a question, real question. Does that make it better or worse? Because
here's what I think it does, is I think it causes potential change.
Right.
And if you look at the schedule coming up, this is actually the start of a good stretch to get things going in the passing game. Their schedule includes Philadelphia, Kansas City coming up, this weekend against the Giants. Like, I want to say those are three of their next six. Like, those are all teams you can throw the football against based off of either their personnel or their injuries. So I think there's a chance for this passing offense to find its footing, and they're paying these guys top of the market value.
Oh, they
like, it's just
are.
Gross asset misallocation if you don't actually utilize your tremendous wide receivers.
Yes.
Just watching, just the eyeball test and watching Kirk Cousins, when we hear about this, like, okay, I've got to do this, does he start trying to force it? Does he start trying to find things that aren't there? Because it just doesn't look like he's naturally even inclined to throw the ball at this point. Like, there's a hesitation on his part that it's odd, almost.
Yeah.
I
feel like something is wrong when CJ Ham has more targets than Kyle Rudolph. Like, that's not good. That's not, you're not deploying your personnel the right way, I don't think, if that's the case.
Kyle Rudolph, who got a 5-year, $35 million extension this offseason.
CJ Ham, the fullback.
Yeah.
More targets. Okay.
So, before the season, how we talked about how there are like tons of, there are very few tight ends, I should say. Like, there's basically three. Maybe not so much. This year, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, Darren Waller, Evan Ingram, George Kittle. Those are your top five, okay? Those guys right there. That doesn't even include players like Zach Ertz, mm-hmm. Austin Hooper, who's been awesome this year, Will Disley. Mm-hmm. Are the days of just the top three and the rest of them being a several notches below tier gone? I think they might be.
It's getting close. I think Kelce's still ahead.
He's a one-man tier is what you're saying.
I think he's still there for now. We need to see him kind of level off for a while. Right now, he's been seeing a decent amount of volume. He hasn't seen as many touchdowns and big plays, but I still think he's on his own tier. This week, I have Andrews second, Ingram third, Kittle fourth, Waller fifth. I think they're all there. Obviously, you mentioned Ertz is in that mix. And yeah, you mentioned Hooper there in passing. Three top 5 weeks already with a massive career-high target share. He's in this mix as well, so... Yeah, it's kind of settled in.
Let me tell you what, Austin Hooper, going to be a very coveted free agent after this season. Very coveted. Hard to find tight ends in free agency. If he reaches the market, given how much money the Falcons have already dedicated to that roster, that guy could be a game changer for an offense somewhere. It's good to finally have some depth. We're going to come back in just a minute and talk about Mike's Fantasy 32, which is always one of my favorite pieces to read during the week. But first, I guess you guys can have a little dose of Matthew Berry and the Fantasy Show. Have at it.
He's a brainiac, he's Mike Clay.
Alrighty, Mike Clay's Fantasy 32, and let's begin. Mike, some overachievers in week 4 included A.J. Brown and Chris Godwin. What? Chris Godwin was overachieving?
Yeah, he was a little over his head this past week, but that's what's going to happen when you have such a massive game like he did. So it's not really, I'm not going to be too critical. The guy's been fantastic. He's number three scoring fantasy receiver. He's been a little boom bust though, right? He finishes wide receiver 31, wide receiver 5, 64, and 1, right? So he's been kind of all over the place. Hopefully that'll level out going forward. Top five in receiving yards so far, in receptions and touchdowns, end zone targets. It's really all been there. The one area that could be a little bit of a red flag is touchdowns. He has 4, so TD is 2, so that'll probably regress a little bit. But again, he's seeing enough volume. Even though he's 20th in targets at wide receiver, there's enough there for him to continue to give you pretty good wide receiver 2 numbers. So I still like him despite him being a little bit over his head this past week.
Okay. Do you want to add anything on A.J. Brown? You good?
I do want to talk a little bit about A.J. Brown because he's a pain. Actually, I thought this was really interesting. I tweeted about this the other day. So Desmond Trufant, one of the better corners in the league, did not shadow in that game against Tennessee this past weekend. Didn't shadow Corey Davis. He just played his side. However, there's an exception. When A.J. Brown was on the field, which wasn't often, he only ran 13 routes. When he was on the field, Trufant was flipping sides and covering him. So teams are kind of a little, it seems like they're a little afraid of A.J. Brown. And, I mean, he had no problem with him. A.J. Brown just whipped him right down the field.
I was going to say, it didn't seem to be much of a winning strategy for the Falcons by doing that.
No, but still, it was showing me that they're prioritizing him. Nonetheless, only 13 routes ran out of a possible 27 for Brown in this game. And we've seen it already. He had 100 yards in week one. Then the next 2 weeks, he had a total of 29 yards and 10 targets. And then back to the 94 yards and 2 touchdowns this past week. The way they're using him, he's set up for another dud this week and perhaps plenty of them going forward. He has to play more before we can trust him in our lineup. He's just not there yet. So I know he was added in a ton of leagues this week, and maybe down the road he can be a starter if he plays every down, but he's not there yet. I have him on plenty of dynasty teams. I'm just not going to put him in my lineup yet.
How about Cortland Sutton, who's quietly having a breakout season, Mike? I say quietly because the Broncos have mostly been an abyss. They've been a big place of unhappiness. I think they've been living in, according to Emmanuel Sanders, a world of suck, except for Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, Emmanuel Sanders playing well too, with a lot of volume to their running backs, and they've been close. I mean, they've had some. They should have won the Bears game. Like they should be better than that. Joe Flacco is playing better than we expected him to play in this offense, no doubt. And a big reason for that is this kind of dynamic duo at wide receiver. Sutton's been terrific, at least 7 targets in every game so far. You love that. You love that volume. 62 or more yards in 3 of the 4 games. Didn't find the end zone the first 3 games, which was a little bit of a concern, but found the end zone twice against the Jags. He's played 92% of the snaps, 3 top 30 fantasy weeks already, 14th in total fantasy points, 15th in expected fantasy points, so it's legit production. The only real concern here, at least in the short term, first of all, the run-heavy offense, that's going to be a concern long term, but I think he'll draw the Casey Hayward shadow. Maybe we'll talk about that a little more tomorrow, but that kind of hurts him here in Week 5.
All right, last one here, Mike, is Wayne Gallman, who you have some confidence in or not so much confidence in moving forward. The Giants played the Vikings this week, and then they go to New England, I believe on a short week, a Thursday night matchup in New England against the Patriots.
Yeah, I was a little pessimistic about him going into last week, but I feel better now because the volume is there. I mean, we did see Jonathan Hillman, the rookie, get a pretty decent chunk of the carries. He played 35% of the snaps, 10 touches, but Gallman saw high-value touches, 59% of the snaps. He had 118 yards. He scored both of their touchdowns. His OFP was 25. That's his expected fantasy point total. That trailed only Christian McCaffrey last week, so a lot of volume and high value volume and obviously opportunities to score touchdowns. Eli Penny was not a factor. So, I feel better about him because they've kind of just slid him essentially into that Barkley role. It's somewhat abbreviated, but still he's getting a lot of targets, a lot of carries. There's plenty to like here. I think he'll be a good RB too for a few weeks at least till Barkley's back.
Interesting. I just was reminding myself that Barkley, so they play obviously Sunday and then Thursday. If I have that correct, and I'm pretty sure that I do, feels like, you know, I know there's been some talk about Saquon Barkley making some sort of miracle comeback, but it still seems like a pretty safe bet that 3 games missed minimum for Saquon Barkley would be reasonable. So Mike comes on the podcast, talks about stuff like, you know, OTD and really smart fantasy stuff. You know what I talk about instead? I talk about Dollar Shave Club.
Okay.
Because when we talk about Dollar Shave Club, we can't stress enough the quality of their products. They spent years developing, crafting, and refining everything. They have everything you can use to look, feel, and smell my best. You name it, they have it. And as amazing as their shave stuff is, get this. Dollar Shave Club is way more than just razors. Dollar Shave Club has you covered head to toe. They have everything you need to shower, shave, style your hair, brush your teeth, and oh yeah, even wipe your butt.
Wait, my butt or your butt?
Well, I would wipe my own.
Okay.
You'd wipe your own.
Gotcha.
I hope. And Dollar Shave Club can keep you automatically stocked up on the products you use.
Why do you hope that?
Get what you want whenever you need it, whether that's once a month or a few times a year. Ignoring that question. You never have to waste time at a store wondering if what you're getting is any good. And right now, you can put the quality of Dollar Shave Club's products to the test because their Ultimate Shave Starter Set has basically everything you need for an amazing shave. The Executive Razor, Shave Butter, Prep Scrub, and Post Shave Do. And the best part is, you can try it for just $5. $5. After that, the restock box ships regular sized products at regular prices. Get your ultimate starter set for just $5 at dollarshaveclub.com/FFF. That's dollarshaveclub.com/FFF.
I just want you to know if it came down to it, Field, I'd be there for you, brother.
You know something, Daniel? I love you, and I know you're one of the most loyal people I want or in my life, but I think I would just pass. I would pass.
How am I supposed to do questions?
I was saying, how do you follow that one, Keith?
I have to sit back here with this guy for the entire show.
That's about as giggly as I've seen Keith in like forever.
Daniel, you just make him a giggly mess. A giggly mess.
Oh.
All right, Keith, let's do some social questions. We can go right down the line.
Yeah. Scott wants to know, Adam Thielen is wide receiver what for the rest of the season?
I think he's a wide receiver too. Yeah. So let's. I would say like wide receiver 14 to 18 is my range for Adam Thielen for the rest of the season.
I have him at 20. He's 38 right now, so that might be optimistic.
Yeah, I'm basically going to say if they make the changes that we think they're going to make, I mean, if Kirk Cousins wants to truly apologize to Adam Thielen and get him the ball, he has the potential to be a wide receiver,
but
too.
Really quick, just keep in mind, they fired their coordinator for throwing too much last year. Like, I'm just not optimistic they're going to pass the ball more.
But they can settle somewhere in between where they were and where they are.
Yeah, better than where they are.
I hope so, but we'll see.
They can't kill Dalvin Cook 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Dr. Fresh wants to know, is the Minshew mustache magic legit? Like, what's the value this year and in Dynasty?
I think it's legit. Fantasy-wise, I don't know that he is a quarterback that I would be starting week to week. Or he's not a quarterback I'd be starting week to week right now. And in terms of the Dynasty value, why would the Jaguars be motivated to trade Gardner Minshew this offseason or anytime soon unless they get a great value for him? And Nick Foles will be back by week 11. He's eligible to play. Yeah. And believe it or not, like, as much as the hypotheticals are already bubbling up,
yeah,
I feel pretty confident that the Jaguars will go back to Nick Foles when he's healthy. Now, this may buy them a couple more weeks for Nick Foles if he's not ready. I think the value for Gardner Minshew in Dynasty, or for this year, is not a guy to be starting. And in Dynasty, there's a lot of good young quarterbacks that I think carry quite a bit more value than Minshew long term. And I love Gardner Minshew. I love that guy. I really do.
Yeah, he's playing pretty well, right? And averaging, you know, completing around 70% of his passes. The efficiency is good. They're 23rd in touchdowns, right? Yeah. Like, they're not really finding the end zone just yet. If that changes and they're like top 10 in touchdowns when Foles comes back, I think we have a conversation. But you're right, for now, not a good fantasy starter. He is adding some value with his legs, but the low scoring offense concerns me. In Dynasty, I love having him on my bench, though. I'd love to just have him on my roster, just let it play out.
Next question comes from Omar. Should he use the big week four as an opportunity to move on from Leonard Fournette?
I think the opposite.
I think it will be a sign
of confidence that good things could keep coming.
Have you seen the schedule for them? I think going for it, let me pull it up because I was looking at that.
While you pull that up, I mean, we talked about this before. He was essentially a guy you wanted to trade for because of the volume. Volume is king. 91% of the snaps, 85% of the carries, 18% of the targets. That is full on workhorse usage. You'll love
that. I mean, I don't think he's going to get over 200 yards repeatedly week in and week out, but the volume is key. And the fact that he's running so hard. Remember when he was banged up a little bit? It felt like he was not this grinder that could like carry defenders forward. And now he's doing that. Here's their schedule. Carolina, okay, middle of the road, but New Orleans, Cincinnati, Jets, Houston before the bye. So,
that's pretty good to me.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good to me.
I like you.
Don't move on.
Richard wants to know if he should be worried about Josh Jacobs. Nothing special since week one and Chicago coming up this week before the bye.
I mean, you're definitely worried for the next 2 weeks because I don't feel good about starting him this week against the Bears. I probably will, but you know, you don't feel great about it. Long term, though, no. I mean,
no, and he's got the volume. Like, who else is going to do it?
Passing game involvement has confused me.
And the lack of touchdowns, but.
Yeah, down to 13 carries a game the past 3 weeks. I want to see that go up. I know it was a little bit because he was sick there a little bit, and that hurt him. But, he's only run 33% of the pass routes. They say they're going to throw to him more, but he's had two targets each of his past two games. I need to see that go higher. For now, a mid to back end RB2.
Interesting one here from Luke. He says he has Kelce and added Disley. Can I feel comfortable dealing Kelce for a wide receiver one and roll with Disley every week?
If that wide receiver one is like a legit top five wide receiver one. But I wouldn't do it for like a guy that can be a wide receiver one in the week, like Brandon Cooks or Julian Edelman or somebody like that. I wouldn't do it. But if someone offered you Mike Evans or Julio or something like that, then that would be DeAndre. I'd be considering it for sure.
Agreed, because at tight end, you're going to back end tight end. Like, I think we view Disley as like a fringe top 10 guy, right? So you're going to have a disadvantage at that position by some margin every week, including to the guy you just gave Kelce. So you need to really make up for that in your starting lineup.
I think, Fields, you had talked about this earlier in the week that like this was when you would target buying low on DeAndre Hopkins with how bad it's been. So like,
well, you could aim even higher than with Travis Kelce right now. You're not trading Travis Kelce for, I mean, I love DeAndre Hopkins. I think he'll be fine, but like you might be able to say, hey, Travis Kelce for DeAndre Hopkins plus something else on your bench right now.
Yep.
Wow.
Mike's shocked by that right there.
Yeah, I mean, I would trade Kelce for Hopkins in a second.
Right. No, in his prison question. Fantasy leagues, it's very different than in these ones.
Yeah, well, I would want some shivs along with Kelce.
Okay.
All right.
Jason wants to know, with Golden Tate back this week, what's his value going forward?
I think he's like a potential top 35 wide receiver going forward.
Yeah,
I still want to see how they use him. Yeah, I know Jordan Ronan wrote about this, like,
huge.
Is he going to be a slot receiver for them? It sounds like probably not. Sterling Shepard's been playing a ton out of the slot the past 2 weeks, and I think they'll probably say, we've got a good thing going, let's keep it that way, and try to use Tate in a way that's not particularly similar to how he's been used throughout most of his career.
That's going to be interesting, because they moved Shepard outside last year and got him some run, got him downfield more, and it seemed to go okay. I thought they would move him out and put Tate in the slot, so we'll see how it pans out, but I think this offense can't support both as flex or wide receiver. You know, Shepard could be a wide receiver too and say Tate a flex. The way Daniel Jones is playing, they can support that. Yep.
There have been a few questions in here during the week about this, about how to value Josh Gordon going forward, since it's been a little bit up and down there.
Probably about that like some weeks it's going to be better than others. I know that's like the last thing you want to hear, someone who rosters Josh Gordon, but like in a matchup like this week, he'll probably be a top 25 consideration. And then there'll be other weeks like Buffalo, where you'll be saying, like, I'd rather not, because the volume is okay.
Exactly. I had this situation. I have him on a roster, benched him against Buffalo because I had better options, but definitely looking to use him this week.
And, not a terrible schedule for them going forward, fantasy-wise.
And obviously. Patriots are pretty good.
Yeah, but yeah. And I think he's like a wide receiver. Yeah. He's like a borderline wide receiver. He's like right on the edge of wide receiver three, wide receiver four.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, our rest of season projections have him at wide receiver 28, which I think is totally fair. Yeah. Totally fair. Yeah. Downfield threat, great offense. There's a lot to like there.
Last one comes from JS1, and this is something that, Field, you've already had a chance to say your thoughts on this, but this is from Mike and Stefania. Thoughts on Juju Smith-Schuster? Is he worth trying to trade for on the cheap?
I don't know. I mean, right now what I'm saying, so he's only got one touchdown. And that was a huge, like, 76-yard outlier. And the way Mason Rudolph's playing right now, this conservative, like, short passes, control the ball, don't turn it over, everything in the middle, makes me nervous. I would like to think that that evolves. But what if it doesn't? And what are you giving up?
Yeah, he was the guy last week you talked about, you want to trade away, right? 60% of his production came on three plays. And now after seeing that on Monday night, is this a new offense for the Steelers?
That's what I mean. Is it the get comfortable for a few weeks offense, or is this it?
Yeah, it's all relative. But right now, Juju's a wide receiver three in the short term. Love him long term. In Dynasty, sure, maybe now's the time to make a move. But short term, I'm nervous for sure. I've been all season.
I am not. I'm going to say that Juju Smith-Schuster gets released this week from everything that has happened so far this season. I'm still feeling it in my bones. Juju Smith-Schuster is going to have a big week this week.
Daniel Dopp last week nailed it on Stephon Diggs. Next up, Juju Smith-Schuster, one of the most likable wide receivers. Oh, you guys should play Fortnite together sometime, Daniel. If you're watching us on the stream, we will see you again tomorrow to talk about the Thursday night game plus wide receiver cornerback matchups. If you're listening, headphones on the audio podcast version. Get ready now for Matthew Berry's interview with Evan Longoria.
He's Matthew Berry. Matthew Berry.
Thank you, Field. All right, now here with longtime Fantasy Focus friend, longtime Celebrity League participant, the official third baseman of the 06-010, many-time All-Star, Evan Longoria. Hey, what's up, my friend? How are you?
Hey, every time I call in, I'm excited to hear, third baseman, official third baseman of the 06-010. So I'm very proud of that title.
We've had a lot of people that have requested that over the years that have asked to be the official third baseman. You know, sometimes I give fantasy advice to Josh Donaldson. He's asked, hey, you know, could I sneak in there? We've had other people request, you know, what about Pedro Alvarez? Hey, it's a Pedro Alvarez. Can I be in? And nope, it is. It's you. You are now till the end of time, the official third baseman of the 06-010. And by the way, so you just finished season with the San Francisco Giants. Season in the way you guys wanted to, but you now have time to spend with your wife and your beautiful children. So that's a positive.
Yes, yeah, that is a positive. I told Daniel on the way in. I said, he said, how you doing? I said, well, no more stress of the baseball season. So I'm doing great. you know, we're lucky to play the game that we do, but it is stressful. And these past couple of years without having my family there as much as I would have liked to has been quite a journey. So the off season is a great time.
So, and you guys are you guys heading on vacation soon?
We are. We're going all over Italy in about 6 days. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Nice. You know what you should do?
Yeah.
Get the pasta. I mean, I don't want to.
I've heard.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's that. I went to Italy once. It's been a while since I've been to Italy, but I went to Italy once, and we did all the touristy stuff. But the one thing that I wasn't prepared for is that, like, they like, oh yeah, lunch takes a while. Like, lunch takes like 3 hours. Like, they are like, yeah, they, but it is like one of those things where just like, yeah, yeah, we'll get to you. Like, just, I'm just, you, when you're planning out your day, and especially because you've got young kids, so, you know, when young kids get antsy, I'm just letting you know, like, meals take a long time. That would be my one big piece of advice traveling with young kids throughout Italy.
Well, here's the good thing. One, our kid, we're going by ourselves, so our kids are not going with us.
Wow.
And two, I think that's part of the beauty of traveling and seeing other cultures, right? Is like, we in America, we have this, you know, set idea of what certain things are supposed to be like. And so that's kind of the cool thing about being able to travel around is, hey, if lunch is 3 hours long, it's 3 hours long, you know, and you just sit down and enjoy that. And that's the beauty of going other places. So hey, listen, I'm really looking forward to it.
Listen, dude, Italy schmittily, like, you had me at we're going without the kids. Like, I mean, I just, yeah, that's, yeah, no. You know, listen, because you and I are friends in real life. And so, you know, and in anyone that follows you on Instagram at Evan.Longoria3 or on Twitter at Evan3Longoria, they've seen pictures of your kids. They've seen pictures of Jamie, your wife. And so, they know how important family is to you. So I don't want anyone to think that you're like, oh, yeah, yeah, now I'm done with the season. Like, I know how important your kids are to you. But as somebody who is the father of five, like, having that alone time with your wife, being able to just get away from the kids and just, you know, reconnecting you guys is so crucial. So I'm happy for both of you guys.
Yeah. No, it is. It's going to be a good time. And, you know, we're taking the kids on a couple of other we're taking them to Florida and then to Hawaii for Thanksgiving. So we're not neglecting them, but definitely got to take some time for ourselves, too.
100%. All right. So blah, 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 family stuff, baseball. Let's get to the important stuff here. And your celebrity fantasy football league team, not Eva. Because that happens to you a lot, right? People like, they see you. And this happened once or twice in the celebrity league initially when we were starting to do emails. And some people were like, oh, Eva Longoria's in the league. And you're like, no.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always, you know, in the beginning I was a little upset about it, but, you know, now it's kind of like become a certain, like, small part of my identity is like her, me being called her. So, you know, when I put out some feelers for my team name this year in the Giants League, the winner was actually not the winner, but, you know, one of the ones that is always funny is not Eva. And I said, you know, my name is already not Eva in the celebrity league. So, that one didn't win, but, you know, it's still represented here, and I still think it's kind of funny.
Have you ever met her?
I have not. I've been asked that question a lot, too. I have not, so, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with just being on the outside.
I feel like next season when the Giants play the Dodgers, we should figure out a way to make that happen. I'm gonna we have a couple of big time publicists that listen to the show. Let me see if we can figure that out for you. But
get them out.
So not Eva off to a hot start, 3-1. Only two teams in the league have more wins than you. You know, nice job. Here's a question for you about your team. So, like, you've got Alvin Kamara, nice wide receivers, Amari Cooper, Christian Kirk's been a revelation. You haven't even really gotten much out of George Kittle, your tight end. You have Calvin Ridley, suffered a tough loss there with Darius Geis. I like having Ronald Jones on your bench. Here, you know, your second running back spot is a little dicey. You've got Alvin Kamara, and then you've got Breida,
Jones.
Yeah, Jones, Adrian Peterson. But it's a 14-team league, so it gets thin quick. I guess my first question for you is, at quarterback, you've got both Jared Goff and Jameis Winston. Like, so two guys that are super talented but have been inconsistent this year. Is that your biggest struggle every week, trying to figure out which one of those two guys to play?
Yeah, I mean, and I made the wrong – I mean, they went – obviously went heads up this past weekend, and I don't think – you know, I'm a Bucks fan, believe me. I'm a huge Bucks fan, and I was – you know, but the previous week's performance by Jameis wasn't, you know, all that great. Actually, he was okay, but, you know, going on the road to the Rams, I just thought, you know, obviously front seven for the Rams, great defense overall. I'm like, you know, it's Goff. Goff at home is good, so I started Goff, and you know it didn't pay off, and I ended up losing this week, and you know, took my first loss. But it is what it is, man. You got to try and play the matchups, and so I assume that I'll probably be riding Jameis for a few more weeks here after that performance.
Yeah, listen. First off, that's fantasy football, and Evan, if it makes you feel any better, it could be worse. You know, you just benched Jameis.
Oh, yeah.
It could be worse because while you benched Jameis, at least you weren't on national television or in a column that's read by a million people saying you, quote, hate Jameis this week. So it could be worse.
But you've been on the other side of it
yes.
a lot for Jameis, too. You know, you've loved Jameis quite a bit, and he's let you down. So, you know, that's the other side of it.
It was fair.
You can only pump him for so long.
Exactly. I truly have a love-hate relationship with Jameis Winston when it comes to fantasy football. So your Buccaneers fandom obviously comes from all the time that you played with the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm curious, like, do you know any of those players? Do you know Jameis? Because I sort of feel like I would assume that Tampa athletes, you guys somewhat run in the same circles, or at least you know a lot of the same people, and maybe you wind up at some of the same places sometimes.
The only guy that I've ever – I mean, I've met Jameis. I never really been in the same place for very long with him. The only guy that I've ever met and really talked to, I don't know, claim to know, but is Mike Evans, who's an absolute stud. You know, every year I'm like, why don't I draft Mike Evans, you know? And then this year, I would have been the year probably with the Bruce Arians signing. You know, you knew they were going to throw the ball downfield a little bit more, and they've kind of proven that this year. But yeah, no, Mike is the only guy that I've ever met really and talked to. But you know, they should have won last week. You know, this week was a big win, and so it's been kind of fun to pull form this year, seeing that, you know, the games are closer, they're playing a lot better, and they look better.
You know, it's interesting. So I mean, I love Mike because, you know, I grew up in College Station, so I'm a Texas A&M fan, and obviously Mike played with Johnny Manziel, played at Texas A&M. We follow each other on Twitter. I haven't gotten up the courage to slide into his DMs yet, but I was excited when he started following me on Twitter for some reason. So,
I mean, I think that of all the sports, football, you know, because of the relationship between fantasy and reality is so close in the NFL that I think a lot of guys actually play fantasy or, you know, are invested in it in some way, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely, you know, every year I get to go to the NFLPA rookie premiere, and, you know, I'm always, like, when I started my career, even like 5, 6, 7 years ago, and I would meet an NFL player, they'd be like, oh, you sort of look familiar, what do you do? And so the last 3 years when I've been interviewing rookies, so, I mean, these are 22-year-old kids, like, they come up and they're like, oh, hey, man, listen, 3-time champ, you know, hey, you know. And so they start talking to me about their fantasy teams that they played in high school, that they played in college. And so more and more people that we've talked to, players that I've talked to actually play. Like, I'll never forget, you know, we do the fantasy show, me and Daniel on ESPN Plus. And, you know, we have puppets, and it's a goofy, fun show and sort of over the top. And we brought Strawman, who's one of our puppets, we brought Strawman 2 years ago to the NFLPA rookie premiere to do some, like, you know, just do some goofy stuff and have him interact with some of the players. And I had this sort of spiel that I would say, like, all right, so listen, I have this show, it's kind of goofy, it's a puppet, here's his character, like, this is what we're going to do. And, like, I'll never forget, like, we brought him out, and Saquon Barkley's there, and I'm like, listen, Saquon, so this is Strawman, and he's like, no, I've seen the show. I know exactly. I'm good. You know what I mean? Like, and I was just like, oh my God.
So right then you knew. It was in a we've made it moment.
100%. Like the aha moment. Saquon Barkley knows who Strawman is. Like, and we did a bit with him, and he was great, you know, and Saquon's awesome. So it was kind of amazing. As long as we're talking about sort of athletes playing fantasy, let's name drop here a little bit here. So you're in the Celebrity League with us, but you also play in a couple other fantasy leagues. So you mentioned a Giants league. So who on the Giants plays?
Who's in that league?
In our league, we've got a trainers team and we got a announcers team. Two spots taken up by front office guys and our staff. And then it's like Jeff Samardzija, Tony Watson, Will Smith, Slater and Duggar have a team together. Kevin Pillar has a team. Gosh dang, who else? I'm trying to go around the room. Steven Vogt is paired up with somebody, I forget who. Brandon Belt is paired up with our hitting coach, Alonzo Powell. We had a lot of guys come in this year that were like, we lost three or four guys, and then we had a lot of guys come in that really wanted to play, so ended up pairing up with other people. So, I mean, that's better that way. You know, obviously you want to have your own team, but it's cool to have a lot of guys playing and have a lot of the trash talk going.
And over a 162-game season, how much does fantasy football come up in the clubhouse, in the dugout? Even does it ever come up on the field in a game?
Well, unfortunately, it's only really the last month of the season. You know, it's only September. Right. So, but yeah, quite a bit in September. And it's from what I've gathered from other people, it's pretty frustrating for the people that don't play and don't follow because, you know, but after 5 months of only baseball, everybody's ready to talk about fantasy football. So I can imagine if you didn't play it, it would be a little bit annoying.
Yeah, no, I mean, obviously it's only the season September, but I know, like, for example, like the St. Louis Cardinals have a league as well. I think every Major League Baseball team has a league. And like, so Adam Wainwright, who I know, Adam tells me like the trash talk leading up to the draft, like the 3 months prior to the actual draft in August. Like, they talk about it constantly. Yeah. That's a very active league, I know, that they have for the Cardinals. Hey, last thing before I let you go, I just want to talk to you about this and let everyone know. So, you know, everyone knows they hear me promoting the Fantasy Life app on the podcast, and we've seen you've participated, you've done some stuff, you've done some chats, you've given away signed bats and stuff for contests on the Fantasy Life app. But I don't know how many people know this. We did a press release about it, but in addition to being an active user, you're also an investor. You're an investor in the app. And so you and I have never had this conversation, but I'm curious why you decided to invest and, you know, how have you enjoyed that so far, enjoyed that experience so far investing in the app?
Well, I mean, the reason I decided to invest was I thought, you know, from a purely outside looking in perspective, I mean, you're the only guy that anybody thinks about when you think about guys who talk about fantasy, right? Or like a fantasy insider or somebody that has been doing it for a long time. I mean, your name is basically synonymous with fantasy football. So you spearheading an app about fantasy football made sense to me. That was the simple answer. And then just, you know, wanting to be involved in something that had to do with fantasy football in the app space. Was an interest of mine. So those two things kind of married together and made sense for me. And it's been really fun. I mean, listen, I use the app quite a bit, especially during the season. I think the alerts are amazing. You know, I think that's the thing that we do best is get the alerts out quick. And you know, last year was almost helped me get into the playoffs in a league, being able to get Nick Chubb last year because of an alert from the fantasy app. And I think, you know, Yasin, our CEO of the app, is on those things and really aware of that. And so it's always cool to be able to, I think, have kind of the inside information first that you guys as insiders have on the app. And that's, I think, what it does well. So it's been really fun to be a part of.
Well, listen, I appreciate that. I wasn't fishing for compliments about myself, but that means a great deal to me.
No, you weren't.
No, I swear I wasn't. not from you, from like Field or Daniel constantly, but from you, absolutely not.
Where is Field, by the way?
He's probably, I don't know, he's probably like buying Tide sticks or something. I don't know. You have no idea. Like the life he leads, it's unbelievable. Like,
yeah, he's probably on Montauk.
I'm sure he is. I'm sure he's looking up like ferry schedules for him and Chapin to get out to Nantucket this weekend. But it's been amazing having you involved in the app, and you know, just sort of your celebrity and some of your connections. It's been the feedback you've given as well, just as a user, has been very helpful. So it's been an exciting ride and been a lot of fun. Yasin and the alerts All the guys that do the alerts have done an absolute amazing job. And so the growth has been really great, and it's I appreciate you saying that. So it's been a very cool ride. And so as I always say, download it. Download it for free, fantasylifeapp.com. So
exactly, yeah. And hey, I got one last thing before we go.
If what you got?
I've been good in this celebrity league for the past 3 years now.
Yeah, you have.
I haven't won it, but I've been good in it. But if you guys ever want me not to be good in it, make it cost money to join, because the leagues that cost money to join, I am terrible at.
Oh man,
I don't know why. The free leagues I'm good. The pay leagues I'm terrible. So I gotta figure out a way to flip flop that somehow.
All right. Well, we gotta figure that out. We gotta change that up. So we need.
But I do think there should be some punishment though for this league. Either some payment or some punishment or something. It makes it more fun.
I'm down for that. We'll have to bring that up in the group chat. See if we can get everyone to bite on that. But follow him on Twitter at Evan3Longoria. Follow him on the gram at Evan.Longoria3. Please send my love to Jamie, and you guys have an awesome, safe, amazing vacation, my friend.
Will do. Thanks for having me on, guys.
So there you go. The definitive Evan Longoria interview. My thanks, of course, to Field, to Mike's, to Stefania, to Secret Squirrel. I'm at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, except the Fantasy Life app, where I'm merely at Matthew Berry. Mike, Stefania, and Field are back tomorrow. I'm back on Friday. Peace out.
He's a fantasy guru in a boat on an island, going full Hainsworth without even trying. Award-winning creations like his news or noise segment are reasons we all love the cut of his jib. Country fast and strong, portaling away again in Matthew Berryville. Searching for a field shoe in a pile of junk. When you lose a bet, you have 1 year to pay. He's the king of football fantasy.